Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Glucose Revolution, The Life-Changing Power of Balancing Your Blood Sugar by Jesse Inchiasi, is a popular science and nutrition book that argues blood glucose regulation is relevant not only for people with diabetes, but also for many readers concerned with energy, cravings, mood, weight management, and long-term metabolic health. Inchiasi, a biochemist known publicly as the glucose goddess, translates concepts from metabolism into a set of practical eating habits intended to reduce sharp glucose spikes after meals. The book is organized around an accessible explanation of what glucose is, why rapid rises and crashes may matter, and how everyday choices can flatten the glucose curve without strict dieting or eliminating entire food groups. Its purpose is not to present a clinical treatment program, but to give general readers a usable framework for understanding how food order, meal composition, vinegar, movement, and snacking patterns may influence blood sugar responses. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, glucose spikes are presented as a daily metabolic signal, not only a diabetes concern. The central idea of glucose revolution is that the shape of a person's glucose curve after eating can influence how they feel throughout the day. Inchiasi focuses on spikes, meaning rapid increases in blood glucose after meals, followed in some cases by crashes that may be associated with hunger, cravings, tiredness, or difficulty concentrating. This framing gives readers a concrete way to think about food beyond calories, willpower, or broad labels such as healthy and unhealthy. The book explains that carbohydrates are broken down into glucose, which enters the bloodstream and requires hormonal regulation, especially through insulin. While this process is normal and necessary, repeated sharp spikes are presented as something worth reducing for metabolic comfort and long-term health. The usefulness of this lens is that it links familiar experiences, such as afternoon slumps or desire for sweets, to a physiological process readers can understand. Its limitation is that glucose response is only one part of nutrition and health. Sleep, stress, genetics, total diet quality, medical conditions, and activity levels also matter. And the book is strongest when glucose is treated as a practical signal rather than a single explanation for every symptom. Secondly, ICOR food order turns ordinary meals into a tool for slowing glucose absorption. One of the most distinctive ideas in the book is that the order in which foods are eaten can affect the speed of glucose entry into the bloodstream. Inchiasi recommends eating fiber-rich vegetables first, followed by protein and fat, and leaving starches or sugars for later in the meal. The reasoning is straightforward: fiber can slow gastric emptying and create a less abrupt arrival of glucose from carbohydrates. Protein and fat may also moderate digestion compared with eating refined carbohydrates alone. This advice is memorable because it does not require replacing an entire meal. A person might eat the same pasta, rice, bread, or dessert, but change the sequence and add a vegetable starter. The idea also shifts attention from restriction to structure. Instead of treating carbohydrates as forbidden, the book suggests surrounding them with components that reduce their glucose impact. This helps explain the phrase often associated with the book, putting clothes on carbs, meaning pairing carbohydrates with fiber, protein, or fat. The practical value is high, because it can be applied in restaurants, family meals, and daily routines without precise measurement. The advice is most convincing when used as a habit for balanced meals rather than as permission to ignore overall food quality. Thirdly, savory breakfasts and snack timing target cravings before they escalate. Glucose Revolution gives special attention to the first meal of the day because a sweet breakfast can set up a pattern of rapid rise, crash, and renewed hunger. Inchiasi argues that starting with savory foods that include protein, fat, and fiber is more likely to support steady energy than beginning with cereal, pastries, sweetened yogurt, juice, or other sugar-heavy choices. This recommendation is not simply about avoiding sugar. It is about reducing the likelihood that early glucose swings will shape appetite for the rest of the day. The book also distinguishes dessert from sweet snacking. A sweet food eaten after a balanced meal may produce a different glucose response than the same food eaten alone in the afternoon because the preceding fiber, protein, and fat can slow absorption. This is one reason the book can feel less punitive than many diet guides. It does not insist that readers never eat sweets, but asks them to consider timing, pairing, and context. The snack advice follows the same logic if a snack is needed. A savory option with protein or fat is likely to be more stabilizing than a sweet standalone item. The broader implication is that cravings are treated as partly biological, not merely as failures of discipline. Fourthly, vinegar and post-meal movement are small interventions aimed at the glucose curve beyond meal composition. The book highlights two behavioral strategies that are easy to understand: consuming vinegar before some meals and moving after eating. Inchiasi explains that vinegar, usually diluted and taken before a carbohydrate-containing meal, may reduce the size of a glucose spike for some people. The proposed mechanism is related to acetic acid, and its effects on digestion and glucose handling, though individual tolerance and medical circumstances matter. The advice is practical, but it should be applied cautiously by readers with reflux, dental concerns, gastrointestinal sensitivity, or medication-related questions. Movement after meals is presented as another accessible tool. When muscles contract during walking or light activity, they use glucose, which can help clear some glucose from the bloodstream. The recommendation does not depend on intense exercise. Even a short walk or simple household activity after eating may be preferable to remaining sedentary. These strategies illustrate the book overall method reduce spikes by changing the conditions around meals rather than relying only on avoidance. Their appeal lies in their low complexity. Their realistic role is supplemental, not magical. They work best when paired with balanced meals, adequate protein and fiber, and an overall pattern of consistent physical activity. Lastly, the book succeeds as accessible nutrition communication while requiring scientific caution. A major reason Glucose Revolution has reached a broad audience is its communication style. Inchospi uses simple explanations, glucose curve visuals, and concrete habits that readers can test in everyday life. This makes metabolic science feel observable rather than abstract. The book also benefits from avoiding many features of restrictive dieting. It does not center calorie counting, does not demand complete sugar elimination, and repeatedly emphasizes that the order and combination of foods matter. At the same time, its popularity has drawn criticism from some health professionals. The concern is not that eating more fiber, protein, vegetables, and fewer refined sugars is unreasonable. Those ideas are broadly consistent with common nutrition guidance. The concern is that glucose spikes can be overemphasized as the root cause of many complex problems. Conditions involving fatigue, weight, hormones, skin, mood, or inflammation often have multiple causes and may require medical evaluation. Inchospi is trained in biochemistry, but she is not generally positioned as a clinician treating disease. The book is therefore best read as a practical wellness guide rather than a medical authority. Its most responsible use is to adopt low-risk habits, observe personal responses, and seek professional guidance when symptoms or metabolic disorders are present. In conclusion, Glucose Revolution is best suited for readers who want a practical, non-technical entry point into blood sugar awareness. It will be especially useful for people who experience energy dips, frequent cravings, post-meal sleepiness, or confusion about how carbohydrates fit into a balanced diet. Readers with diabetes, pre-diabetes, eating disorder history, gastrointestinal problems, pregnancy-related concerns, or medication use should treat it as general education and discuss major changes with a qualified clinician. The practical benefit of the book is that it offers habits that can be added to existing meals: vegetables first, savory breakfasts, carbohydrate pairing, vinegar when appropriate, and light movement after eating. The intellectual benefit is that it gives readers a clearer model of how meal structure can influence physiology without requiring laboratory knowledge. Compared with many nutrition books, it stands out for its visual, experiment-based presentation and its emphasis on sequencing and context rather than strict food bans. It is less comprehensive than a textbook on metabolism and less individualized than clinical nutrition counseling, but it is more immediately usable than many science-heavy health books. Its strongest contribution is making glucose regulation visible, memorable, and actionable, while still allowing room for pleasure and flexibility in eating. If you would like to support Jesse Inchospi, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.